Well, it is Thursday evening here, 6 p.m. on this Thursday evening here in early March. You know what that means. It is March Madness season. I'm Evan John. This is the Water Cooler, 91.1 WHFC. I'll be with you for the next half hour. A little bit of sports talk and a good friend of mine, not frequent flyer. I've been on the show before. One of my good friends, home from college, said he would come join me. Matt, how you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Best day of the year. 60 degrees outside. March Madness on all day. Thanks for having me. Pleasure as always.
Of course. It is nice out there.
Beautiful today. Day. Beautiful Actually. Day. Basketball's on. What more can you ask for?
And of course, that's where we'll start. We'll address the elephant in the room, if you will. First, Maryland. The Terps onto the round of 32. Matt, you and I watched that one together. We were sweating it out.
Yeah, the story coming into the tournament is which Maryland team was going to show up. I don't think we know yet. It was, tale of four teams, I would say. maybe the same two, you could
say.
Got to start faster next game.
Yeah.
Got to block out in the post, Two keys next round. Didn't see much of it.
I'm not sure exactly what the timestamp was, but we were 4-ish minutes into that game with two buckets.
It was a 6.5 minute drought. So yeah. Very much into that game, not shooting well from the floor. Didn't attempt many field goals for the first 10 minutes of that first half.
But yeah. A lot of turnovers.
There were positives though. Hard in the paint. Julian Reese finished very strong. He's going to need to have another huge game coming up. We'll get to that too. But bounce back game for Jameer.
Yep.
He's going to have to play really well. Mm-hmm. It got to the second half. It's a bad sign when you're asking your star point guard to not have the ball in the second half as a fan. So going to need a lot more out of him next game.
And I mean, in a lot of ways, they played well enough to get through. And in a lot of ways, they're lucky to have gotten through, I think.
Yeah. So I think that's also indicative of who they played.
Yeah.
I mean, that was I think West Virginia, from what I heard, had the same story, was which team was going to show up and got themselves into foul trouble. But they were a good shooting team.
Yeah. And from the, from the box score, from the course of the game, it looked like an 8-9, like it was supposed to. So good game. Good way to kick off March Madness. We, of course, then instinctively turned over to watch Alabama versus Texas A&M Corpus Christi to see who the round of 32 matchup was. It is going to be Alabama, and that team was shooting the lights out.
A lot deeper team than Maryland too. Younger, deeper, bigger, faster, better rebounding. So they're the number one overall seed for a reason. I don't think they're really gonna make it to that final weekend, but very dangerous team. We locked down their West Virginia guards pretty well. Now it's gonna be about the forwards locking it down too.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You're gonna need more than Julian Reese down there.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit about it. Dante Scott's going to have another big defensive game. And I can't think of the last time he's put two back-to-back defensive games on. So,
yeah. And we talked about, too, watching Alabama, the first thing, I think the first thing we really noticed that stood out to us was we're probably going to lose on the glass, right?
I think we're definitely going to lose on the glass.
Yeah.
I don't see a world where, I mean, boxing out has been an issue all year long. And you get to this point, it's not going to change. So I think we're definitely going to lose on the glass. It's just, can we win in spite of that?
Yes. It's a tough round of 32 matchup set to play Saturday at 1 p.m. Still in Birmingham, still a home game for Bama.
Yeah, big crowd there for Bama.
Yeah, it'll be a test for Maryland. And see, that's my thing, too, is that this round of 32 game, of course, Maryland's going to be dogs going in. They should be. But if they, can somehow pull off the miracle, Maryland could very well be off to the races after that one.
Yeah, I don't know what your stance on the betting front is on this show, but I'll go ahead and give some free advice to the listener if you want to bet. If we're double digit dogs, pretty good value in that. It's just going to be which team's shooting, so very risky pick to lay the points with Maryland. But I think the guys are going to come out inspired and I'd like anything from 7.5 up.
Yeah.
To find some good value with that for Maryland.
And then going down the scoreboard here today, if you don't already know, you probably do, but we'll read it off to you. San Diego State is moving on. They take down Charleston. Charleston playing in the conference with the local Towson, coming out of that Colonial Athletic, I believe, is what it is. The 63-57. Charleston hanging around there in the 5-12. And then
that was a big defensive game. Nobody was really hitting shots from the floor.
Yeah.
Good matchup. Fun to watch.
and then we watched the end of it too together. The game of the day, probably Furman, Virginia. Furman pulling off the upset.
Yep.
Virginia quite literally throwing the game away.
Literally throwing the game away. Can't say much about most of that game because, you know, pretty locked into Maryland.
Right. Right. We got the end. Yeah.
But it's the same thing. The same thing I told Jameer at the end of the game. I at least said it to you about Jameer. Just hang on to the ball. You don't got to move. You don't got to pass. Don't do anything. Let them foul you. Run some time off the clock if they'll take it. And he panicked under pressure. Just tuck the ball away. Ball security is job security.
We say that a lot. I don't know where it originated from. We say it a lot in the friend group. We have the, you know, our friend Spence likes to say that one a lot.
And say it a lot for a reason.
We do for sure. But and then Furman intercepting that desperation pass to get it over half, I guess, was the goal. Were they worried about a 10-second? I don't know. But they got it away. Furman picked it off, and then the long three went down with 2.2 or something like that. And then that was it. But what else we have here? Missouri, Utah State. Missouri by 11. I think that game should have been closer.
Yeah. I think the refs have been a big talking point so far through half a day of round one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll never say it as an excuse for a team I like, team I don't like, but those refs were getting on Utah State. I wasn't a huge fan of the way they officiated that game.
Yeah.
Told a friend to cash out on a bet that involved Utah State about 5 minutes before the end of the game with the way they were calling things. So hopefully that improves as the tournament goes along. You know, you got a lot of sites, you need a lot of officials, but you would hope from the NCAA comes down, hey, remember, this isn't about you.
Yeah.
This is postseason. Put the whistles away.
And then there's a couple games that are live at the moment too. Princeton, Arizona, going down to the wire here inside of 3 minutes, Arizona by one. That's a 2:15 matchup. So Princeton, like you said earlier, those Ivy League schools like to hang.
Like to stick around. They always like to stick around. You know, you flip a coin each year. Is it going to be Princeton or Yale?
Yeah.
this year it's Princeton. They're shooting pretty well in the second half, playing good enough defense to stick around here.
And then Illinois, Arkansas Razorbacks leading the way in the 8-9 matchup, 51-36. We've talked about it before. You and I relatively, you know the Big Ten where Maryland plays. We watch those games a lot. We're kind of low on the Big Ten in the tournament.
Big Ten's full of a bunch of frauds. you know, I've seen a lot of people with Purdue going deep. I don't think you really watch Purdue too much. You know, a lot of people going, oh, this is Tom Izzo's time. Michigan State, he's the one with the experience. You probably didn't watch Michigan State in the tournament then. Penn State's hot, but they're going to have to play a real team for once.
Yeah.
The team I really like is Indiana, but they're very streaky. Mm-hmm. They got the size. They're still not going to get too deep. But if you're looking for a Big Ten team to stick around for the longest, I'd put my money on Indiana.
So I'll go down the list here now as we'll stay in the March Madness realm here. There's games... Games today, games tomorrow. What is your unplayed game of the day to watch this evening as we hit the night window here?
Next game that's going to tip off, 6:50, Auburn, Indiana. Real good game. And then you follow that up with Oral Roberts, Duke. Two very good games. You know,
Auburn, Iowa, by the way. They said.
What did I say?
You said in Indiana. You were just talking Indiana.
Yeah,
so it's,
apologies.
You know,
I can't read.
It's okay.
Tonight, in the nightcaps, the two nightcaps tonight, Penn State, Texas A&M. A lot of people like A&M. Second runner-up in the SEC, finished second in the regular season. They do not deserve to be a 7 seed. Penn State very hot. That should be a very interesting game. My Cinderella team before they got the draw was UNC Asheville. They play great defense. Really tough draw against UCLA. That's going to be the nightcap at 10 if you're looking for a late-night game to watch.
Yeah. I think there's good games tomorrow, too. I think VCU St. Mary's is a 12-5 upset watch. I think...
Creighton, NC State, Pittsburgh, Iowa State.
Yeah.
You get the Rick Pitino Bowl tomorrow.
Yes. I like Pitt. Pitt looked really good in that play-in game.
Pitt looked
very
good. I did. Yeah. I did catch that. Either team that moved on between them, Mississippi State, I really like the style they play.
Yeah.
Really great for March, especially the way they're calling these games right now. They could set up a team to get in early foul trouble. Another great upset game to watch tomorrow, Providence, Kentucky.
I was just going
to
say that one.
Yeah, Providence's star transferred from Kentucky. That was when they got that draw, Kentucky, the only thing they said was just acknowledging that player. So
he gets his revenge game.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to be inspired for that.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
And then one of the 12-5s I picked also was, in some of my brackets, I don't know if you did, I picked Drake over Miami. I feel like that was relatively... there was talk about it. The popular one, I think, what was it? There was Oh, there was a 12-5 that was popular.
A lot of people like Charleston. A lot of people like Charleston. I'm, you know, I've historically been way too high on San Diego State when it comes to these tournaments.
Okay.
I mean, the ACC was very weak this year, so you could say Miami's not as tested as much as, you know, a typical ACC team would have. I think I went with Miami in that one, but
USC Michigan State. A lot of people on Michigan State, like you said, coaching. They've been there before, coach experience there. I think that's going to be a great game. I kind of like USC a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be a good game. Even if Michigan State squeaks by this one, I don't see them getting very far. Their roster up and down isn't built to compete right now.
They didn't guard very well in their conference tournament.
No.
Yeah.
No. So. Anybody that had them going deep did not watch them play in the Big Ten tournament.
I do like the Bears of Baylor. I do like that team, that 3 seed to make a run. I got to figure out who they run through. I know I've made
this bracket. If you're talking about strength of schedule, Big 12 was a gauntlet this year.
Yes.
So any Big 12 team, they've been tested already. They know how to compete.
Yeah.
And we'll give you a live update here. About a minute 30 left. Princeton up by 156-55 coming down to the wire here.
And then also looking ahead here, these results haven't been played yet, but you know, predicting what could be the round of 32, Creighton Baylor, that'd be a game.
Be a very good game.
That'd be
a very good game. Creighton has the ability to just go lights out from the floor.
Yes.
But this is March. You don't hit it, becomes a very different game.
How do we feel about Kent? I know you're high on Indiana. How do you feel about Kent State?
Kent State's got a shot.
Yeah.
They got a shot. I don't think they match up in the post very well. I forget that kid's name. For Indiana.
Come on. What's his name?
Yeah,
it's not like running a sports show here or anything. I'm trying to see if I can dive into the roster here real quick on my computer.
But that star forward for Indiana has the potential to drop 30 every night, especially against a small team.
Yeah.
If you talk about a team that's dealt with adversity, Indiana's been down multiple guys throughout the year, lost their best player preseason for the year. So they've been battling from the beginning.
Are you talking about Trace Jackson?
Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah. There's a couple of good guards on that team, but Trace Jackson obviously leads the way. So shooting 57, almost 58%, Trace Jackson. So he definitely, if you can, it's one of those things where you kind of control him, control the game kind of thing. But
obviously it's very hard to control him.
Yes,
so.
Yeah. That's why there are four.
Yeah.
Right, and interesting here, I thought I would ask you about this. I guess it's a strength of schedule thing, which I understand that. I have Houston as my national champion a couple times.
Yeah.
You're not incredibly high on Houston.
I thought Houston should have been the 3 overall seed.
Okay.
They went 31-3, and they're playing the American, of course. Strength of schedule at 97. Kansas had the 4 strength of schedule, especially if you give them the 2. They get to play in Kansas City for Sweet 16, Elite 8.
Okay.
Would have been a big help. They now have to go. I forget where they're going now, but it's not going to be too much of a home game. They got to travel a little more. I thought that was a little unfair, and you know, you want to reward the teams that play the tough strength of schedule, still make it through. Not saying Houston's a bad team. They're untested, you know. So once they get there, we have no idea how they're gonna fare.
And I'll stand by this take. I've been saying this since the bracket was released. My dad wasn't high on it, and I talked him into it when I broke it down for him. But I will stand by this take for the whole tournament, is that if Purdue is a Sweet 16 team, I will be shocked. I don't think they get past Memphis. I don't.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Shocked. But my brackets would be hurt.
I think Sweet 16 is about the ceiling for that team.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be shocked, because it would just be Edie just being too big for anyone to match up against. But
if you really, that's another team kind of like Indiana. Not I don't know enough on Indiana to say like they're a one man show. But if you shut down Edie,
Purdue is a one man show. A one man show.
Yeah.
They've already proven themselves to be a fraudulent team.
Mm-hmm.
The book's there to how to beat them. Can
teams do it?
Yeah, teams do it? When's the first time they're going to face somebody that can beat them?
Right.
Is the thing. But they, I think it's pretty easy for them to be the first one out.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to transition here to the NFL in a minute, but I'm going to hit my sound bumper, of course, here. But I'm trying to hang on here for the end of this this Princeton-Arizona game here, as we are certainly on upset watch inside of 10 seconds now. Oh, Princeton 55 right now.
You are a little bit ahead of me. I understand. Probably with that.
I'm not watching the game. I'm just watching the live score.
I was going to say you have that access to the actual Wi-Fi. I have to get a guest act. I'm here at 21%. He's shooting free throws, but 21%, 21 seconds.
Gotcha. We're at three. I assume we're shooting free throws now. Clock has stopped. I can't tell. But yeah, let's see. We didn't talk about tomorrow too much. Well, I guess we did. USC, Michigan, Pitt, Iowa State, UConn, Iona. I think that's one of my biggest locks. I think UConn is going to win that game.
Yeah.
I think that's a team that could make a run.
You're talking about teams that have faced adversity.
Yeah.
UConn went on that huge run to start the. Arizona just missed a couple threes. Princeton should win this. Seconds left on the clock. They're shooting free throws.
Okay. Is that 58, 55 going to the line right now? Okay.
Going to the line 3 seconds.
Okay.
Arizona just took some bad shots there.
Yeah.
Russ rushed a three, airballed it, kicked it back out.
Some of my coin brackets doing better than my actual brackets.
See, I said it earlier. This year has the potential to be the worst year for everybody, because it's been a crazy year of college basketball from the beginning. Yeah. Anybody can beat anybody this year. It's not like, you know, it's not like you have an unbeatable one seeds all across the board.
I was going to say this year, like we saw it with UMBC a few years ago, actually. A few more than we thought. We didn't think it was 5 years, but they played that earlier on TV. Yeah. But I was saying it's always unlikely, of course. They've only lost one time in the tournament's history. But if a 16 was going to beat a 1, this year was the year, I think. So we haven't seen it, of course. All the 1 seeds are through right now. 2 seed in danger. 2 seed looks like they're more than in danger.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game has gone final. Princeton, 15-2 upset, 59-55. The Ivy League teams playing tough. So when's the last time a non-Princeton Yale Ivy League team got in? That's just a random question that we probably don't know anyway.
Yeah,
I won't
know it off the top of my head.
Yeah, but yeah, it's the first day of March Madness. You know, it's always a good one. Furman, Virginia, like we talked about earlier. Furman was one of the ones that I think a few people picked that one. A lot of people were on Furman for that upset. I picked them. That's one upset that I did get correct. I never didn't pick Maryland too. I couldn't bring myself to not pick them in the 8-9. But yeah, I think, I don't know, did we miss any points there on March Madness on that one? Did we check our boxes, I think?
I think we did. To answer your question, technically it would be the 2019-2020 season and the 2021 season that they both were canceled due to COVID.
Okay.
But the last time Penn or Yale did not win the tournament would be 2017-2018 was Penn.
Okay. So there you go. Penn was the last team that's not Princeton and Yale, or Princeton or Yale, to make the tournament. So, okay. Well, we'll move on here. I'll hit my little transition here, and we will talk a little NFL news. This is what the offseason is officially underway. New league year, I guess, was yesterday, correct? So we will talk about free agency here, and we will say what we think. All right, so a little NFL talk for you now here. Of course, we'll address I'll address the headline here first. I'll give it to you. Aaron Rodgers going on the Pat McAfee show, saying his intention is to play for the New York Jets. So the thought process is now the trade compensation is what's holding up this deal. Rodgers, I'll ask you about that first. Well, we'll do one thing at a time here. The intention to play for the Jets. What do you think about that?
It's been a long time since somebody has made their intentions public to play for the Jets. So, you know, good for them for turning that franchise around. You know, I don't. It'll be weird. It'll be weird if it actually goes through. You know, you never envision someone like that to move on from a team.
Right.
But
how do you if you're him right now, how do you feel if you're Zach Wilson yesterday?
He came out and said he was gonna make life difficult in practice.
Yeah.
I think the Jets kind of want to throw him in as compensation back. I think New York kind of you don't like not dress a number two overall pick and still think your franchise revolves around him. So I don't know how long he's really in that franchise anymore. I don't think the Jets really care how he feels, to be quite honest. Yeah, it doesn't really seem like he's got too bright of a future.
So you think Zach Wilson is in the trade?
I think the Jets want it to be. I don't think the Packers want to take him. That was my initial thought with, you know, the issue in compensation, that and draft picks with being a $60 million cap hit.
Yeah. So I guess the trade compensation is what's holding up the deal now, I guess. And then Rodgers talking about his darkness retreat, said he went into the darkness 90% retiring, 10% playing. I don't believe him.
I don't buy that for
on
a
that.
Yeah, no.
I don't think he if no. he was that close to retiring, I don't think he comes out and says he wants to play for the Jets.
No,
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't think so. But it's interesting. I don't know.
I want to know how much the Jets are paying the Hat Man on the recruitment trail for that one. You know, good for him in the darkness retreat doing work.
Yeah, but it's I don't know. It's weird. Aaron Rodgers has been a story for a while, and I think Aaron Rodgers likes that.
Yeah,
I think that's
it'll fit him to be in a big market. Have the spotlight on him 24/7, every single play under a microscope.
Yeah.
Maybe Zach Wilson will shine in somewhere where he doesn't have to take accountability for his actions.
Do you think Zach Wilson has to come to terms with him being, you know,
a bad quarterback?
Facing the fact that he might be a career backup quarterback, or is there a starting job for him somewhere?
I mean, number two overall pick, somebody else is going to give him a chance at least once. Now, if he keeps doing the same exact thing over and over again, I think, you know, career backup is going to be in his fortunes. Yeah. And there's really, I mean, he doesn't really get much of a say in that instead of, you know, putting his head down, putting in the work to make himself better. But if we take this year and, you know, the slim amount of offseason things that we've heard, I'd go with no. I'd go with no. He's not ready to be a backup, but he's going to figure that out sooner or later.
Is Zach Wilson going on the same train track as Baker Mayfield is, the live out of a suitcase year to year starter for a new team?
I think that's the best comp. He gives a lot of Baker energy off the field problems, and you know, maybe eventually he'll learn to just, you know, not say anything. And
yeah,
but Baker hasn't really turned around his career either, so I wouldn't put too much weight behind Wilson turning his around.
Yeah, and I'll segue to Baker Mayfield. Does he sign a deal to be the next quarterback as Tom Brady retires? He'll fill the shoes of the QB1 position in Tampa Bay. How do you feel about that?
Tampa needed somebody. I mean, they were going to trot out who was the Florida kid that they've got?
Oh,
on the practice squad.
I know you're. I don't remember his name. But I know you're talking.
He's
about.
Not. I forgot it. But they weren't ready to trot him out. They don't want to sink a bunch of cap hit into quarterback. It doesn't seem like. I would have rather them going after Jacoby, honestly.
Okay.
I thought he was probably the best fit for them, and then just put a bunch into your defense and go with the Seahawks model.
Right.
Even though they haven't put a bunch into their defense yet. But this offseason.
Right.
But they got a good line, good receivers. So maybe Baker, you know, he could have a 30-30 season following in a broken line of great quarterbacks in Buccaneers history.
Yes.
Of course, Jameis Winston.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the Buccaneers are going to be pretty bad this year, if you ask me. I think they're maybe a top 10 pick candidate next year. I don't know. We'll see. But it's going to be tough to transition off of Tom Brady when you just barely made it in the playoffs with Tom Brady.
My one counterpoint to that is the NFC South is so bad
that
it'd be so hard for that roster, even with Baker Mayfield, to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
I think they're going to, you know, be fighting for the division title in the last week again, like everybody in the NFC South was.
Right.
Rooting for that 30-for-30 season. Really miss Baker in the AFC North. I miss playing you, Baker. Please come home.
What was that that one stat where it was like week 14 or something like that, that in the NFC South you could win and be winning the division or lose and be in line for the top pick or whatever?
The Panthers and Falcons in week 16 had it both ways.
Yeah, that was
it
crazy.
Was crazy.
That was insane.
And if I don't know if you probably covered this last week, I forget where it falls in the timeline, but the Panthers going all in on a rookie quarterback,
Yeah.
They don't have the pieces around. You trade away your star receiver. Who's he throwing to now?
Right.
You're setting him up to fail.
Yeah.
And especially, they can't go for the 3-4 guys, the kind of project quarterbacks with the higher ceilings, because you're going to tank their career by putting them in there year one. It's be like sink or swim. They're just going to sink.
Yeah.
So it could be another wasted Ohio State quarterback, mm-hmm. I think.
Well, we talked a lot about March Madness here. We have a couple minutes here, maybe like about 2 minutes here to run the table here with the rest of the offseason news. The more recent points are what I'll bring up. Ezekiel Elliott released by the Cowboys. I think they had to. His cap was going to be $16 million.
Especially with tagging Tony Pollard. You can't have over 35 to 40 million tied up in running backs in this day.
So they'll now look for Tony Pollard's backup, which they should have done. You can't pay $16 million to your RB2.
No.
I think Tony Pollard should have been the guy last year.
And the year before that.
Yes. Yeah. So
this upcoming class is so deep with depth running backs. Mm-hmm. You got Deuce Vaughn, who's projected to be a late day three pick just because he's 5'5". Okay. You've got Mohamed Ibrahim, who's a power back coming out of Minnesota that I love. I can name a bunch of guys that I love, but I won't because we're strapped for time. So I'd expect them to take a day three running back, maybe a little earlier than people expect, but you have a lot of talent down the board on running backs.
And then I'll ask you one last thing here on the NFL news. Miles Sanders signs with Carolina. How do you feel about the fit in a bad division? And, of course, Miles Sanders never really getting a shot to be like the real, like, you are the guy. Philly's always been by committee. Well, he's there.
Yeah, so. I don't know if he's escaping the committee either in Carolina. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like they really want to run a workhorse back fit down there. He might be more of a swing back for them.
Okay.
Coming out and not really taking too much, doing a little bit less power. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see who they draft. I mean, good for the zone run fit, but, you know.
Yeah. So, closing points here, I guess I have like I'll do my math here, about 30-ish seconds, right? So, the draft is coming up, of course, in April. What do you think is going to happen with the top pick? Of course, we think the Bears, they traded out to
Carolina.
Carolina, right. We think Carolina overpaid. We kind of foreshadowed about that with them trading their
They did overpay. It is the number one overall pick. Historically, you do have to overpay for a pick like that. I don't think they're in a position to win now. I don't really love them like accelerating this rebuild and get rid of this capital. I think they needed to spend that pick elsewhere, but we'll see.
You're the GM. Last question here. In the GM seat, you need your franchise quarterback. Is it Young or Stroud?
Young.
Young?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, with that being said, that was show flies.
Yes.
Show flies.
And I appreciate you not asking me about Lamar Jackson. Our friendship is maintained.
it's on a document here on my computer. I bypassed it. I went through the free.
Yeah, we're running out of time, but we're still friends, so that's fine.
Exactly. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to us here this evening. My name is Evan John. I'm with Matt. This is the Water Cooler. Same time, same place next week. Go home. Watch the March Madness games. That's what Matt and I are going to do. Good nightcap window coming up and more good games. Tomorrow, Terps move on. They play Saturday to face Alabama. We'll talk about it next week. So same time, same place next week, next Thursday, 6 o'clock, the Water Cooler. My name is Evan John. Thank you guys so much for listening.